What's up, everyone? It's Ray Garvin, host of the Destination Debbie podcast. If you're waiting until after the NFL season to start your college scouting process, you're already behind the eight ball. There are hundreds of college football games on each and every Saturday, far too many to keep up with, along with following your favorite NFL teams. But don't worry. This show is designed for not only you hardcore Debbie leaguers, but those of you who want to learn about the next group of potential NFL stars and get a leg up in your traditional dynasty leagues. We don't just talk about the big name college football guys. We hit on the small school value prospects who also have a shot to make it to the next level. If you want to position your dynasty team for short and long-term success, make sure you check out the DDP on DLF and all the other amazing shows DLF has to offer.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict. I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict.
Russell Rocky.
Other names. Trade addicts pot. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Jake Trowbridge, and I, too, have a trading problem.
Man, that was so convincing, right? Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 150 of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will, and we will. So, yeah, like, it's episode 150, and I feel like we probably should have done something about that. I did not do anything about that.
Yeah, I know, but Nick, the other Nick Martinez, TA3 Nick Martinez said something, I think, to me about it.
Yeah, Nick Martinez A, since he was the first one around.
Yeah, but, and I think he said he mentioned it to you, too, and I'm like, yep. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, dude, oh, man, I didn't do anything. He's like, you still have time, and I'm like, But that would also mean I have to like myself enough to think that people actually cared for 150 episodes, and it's not just me putting this out for the shit of it, and nobody cares, and then I'm celebrating 150 episodes. Let me put something together, and everyone's like, gotta wash my hair that day. And then I just cry for an hour and a half on the show.
It's not what, those nice round 2-0s anyway, so
we'll here do something I am.
At 200.
Here I am thinking you guys did something for the 150, and I'm a big part of this massive celebration. You're like, you know who we have to get for the 150? Jake. We have to go get Jake because it's a big, spectacular show. I was expecting a balloon drop.
Look, we spent the past 7-8 hours trying to push the pressure away from you being on this show. And now that we finally put it out in the open, that no big deal, bro. And you're just like, no, this is a big damn deal. Like, okay, so now, look, pressure's on, man.
I just like to be contrarian. On. That's all it is. I just like to be contrarian.
Hot take Jake. Woo. I like that. That's fancy. I like that. What were we talking about? I don't remember anymore. Did we start the show? Yeah. Okay, good. Well, we're actually going to jump straight into our interview part because I love it. I love it when news happens before the show records because usually it's Tuesday morning and I'm just like, oh, well, that would have been nice. But Jake is the guest of honor tonight. So we're going to talk to Jake a little first. First, tell everyone listening who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Perfect. I am Jake Trowbridge and my handle on Twitter is also Jake Trowbridge. So there you go. I am the co-host of the Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football podcast with Dustin Lunt. Also the new co-host of the Ball Blast Football podcast with Kate and Michelle Majuk. And I float around Twitter. So that's me in a nutshell.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know about the Ball Blast. That's pretty cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man. I enjoy it. It's just been a few episodes in at this point. Still getting the footing, but feels good, man. They are a lot smarter than I am. So it's intimidating, but it's really fun.
It's why I bring people like Rocky, or like I always had Har with me, because it's I could just be the mouth. I can just sit here spewing nonsense, and then I need someone like backing me up to actually say the smart stuff.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. That's Dustin's role on Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football too. Really, I just show up to be the dumb guy with a big smile, and I do that job, I think, pretty well, to be fair.
I actually thought that was my job. I didn't realize that was a smart guy.
That's how smart you are. See? You don't even know. Okay, well, Jake, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
I have been playing fantasy football since 2015, and I know this as a date. I'm kind of a newbie to this. It's only 6 years. That's six seasons of football. But I recall that it was 2015 because my first ever draft, I remember being very keen on Amir Abdullah. Maybe you've heard of him.
Amir, baby. Yeah. I love that guy.
I think everyone loved Amir Abdullah.
That one run in the preseason, like 60-yard touchdown.
I think it was against the Jets.
should have seen that one coming.
Yeah.
So how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
I started Dynasty the year after I started Fantasy Football. Wow. So good, literally a year later, I was like, you know what? This redraft stuff. But to be fair, my first year playing was like a random Yahoo league with complete strangers. I didn't know anybody. And then the next year I got into what is now my longest running home league. And then immediately I was like, oh, I see all these people talking on Twitter, which I was also new to, about this Dynasty thing. And that seems really interesting. And with having done zero research, I just went ahead and hopped into a league, which is how I do most things.
Yeah. It's weird. The only thing I've ever done research for was jumping into Dynasty. That's like, you know, hey, I want to do a podcast. All right, that's fine. Let me just do that. Like, I did no research. I just learned how to hit where to hit the record button and how to post. I don't need to run a home league for something first. Let's just run it with random Twitter people. It'll go fine. No big deal. But like joining Dynasty, like I listened and read for like a year before I joined a Dynasty league. Yeah, like for a full season. And I don't know why the hell I did that, because I would have been just fine just walking into it and doing it.
Really? Because I feel like I wish I had done that now at this point, because I'm still in that first Dynasty League. And, you know, it's not going great. You dig yourself into some holes when you don't do research.
No, I mean, like, because it was the same. Like, back then, Dynasty Trade Calculator was free. So I still had to run everything through there because I had no idea what I was talking about, even though I listened to a year's worth of podcast and a year's worth of article. It meant nothing. You know, you practice all you want. What is that? Everybody has a plan till you get punched in the mouth. Everyone has a plan to actually join a dynasty league. Like, you have no idea what the hell you're going to do. So you're just making up as you go along anyway. So wasted a year. That's all I say.
Fair.
Okay, well, you have been playing, man, like still 1 year. That's still pretty awesome. But what are some of the best and worst trades you've made in Dynasty?
You know, like my entire first 4 years are bad trades. I honestly would do this like year in review kind of thing. Did you guys do that much to yourselves? Yeah, where you like go back through your leagues and just look at all the crap trades that you've made?
Never.
It's super depressing. And I never talk myself out of it. I do it every single year.
Sounds depressing.
Never.
I don't do it either.
It's so bad. But I will say, this last year, I was looking back through most of my trades. I was like, oh, these are okay. I kind of feel good about some of these. So I definitely have a lot more bad trades in the chamber than I do good trades. So let me start with the bad here. I had to just go and bookmark, because I also like to tweet how bad my trades have been historically. You know, full transparency and whatnot. And also I just like people to pile on, but, this was right before the 2019 season, I want to say. Yes. So Melvin Gordon was the guy in LA, and Austin Eckler was just this, you know, pretty good pass catching back. He was fine, but with Melvin there, he was never going to get the work. And so I had drafted Eckler, and this was also like holdout concerns with Gordon. And then he didn't. And so I drafted Eckler, and I was like, well, I don't really need this guy anymore. But you know who I really do want? And we were talking before the show started, Albert Wilson. I would love some Albert Wilson. So why don't I go ahead and I will trade. This is to the person who had Melvin Gordon. And I was like, well, you're worried about the holdout. Why don't I trade you this Austin Eckler character who's never going to get a full workload anyways for Albert Wilson, and let's juice it up a little bit. Why don't you throw in that late third round pick? And super good. You know,
feels good. Dealing. You got that third, baby. That's two pieces for one. Two is more than one.
You know who I drafted with that late third? Probably another Albert Wilson. Just guessing. I haven't looked, but I'm guessing it was a near clone of Albert Wilson.
Hey, you got to type. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's true. That's true. But for the good, like recently, I feel very good about this trade. I don't know. I still feel weird, like evaluating good trades. It's a lot easier to evaluate just the crap trades for me and be like, objectively, that's crap. But I thought this one was pretty good. So this was a very recent one. Not very recent, but at the very tail end of this last year, I traded away Daryl Henderson and Travis Fulgham. This is like right after the Fulgham breakout. And I traded him for AJ Dillon, Henry Ruggs, and in a tight end premium league, Cole Kmet. Wow. Who I feel very good about now.
That's great.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, so
I, you know, you may feel bad evaluating that as good. I will tell you flat out, that was good.
Yay. I'll take it.
And if it makes you feel any better, we have, I think, like five trade addicts trades to talk about later. Four of them are mine, and at least once you will tell me I made a bad move. So don't even worry about it.
Perfect.
And you'll probably be able to sell that Dillon share for a time when Aaron Jones.
Oh, leaves. Yes. Or is that logo behind you going to make you keep them?
I know. Or maybe
no. I've rid my rosters of Aaron Jones's. Yep. And it will be AJ Dillon's is out the window too as soon as I get the opportunity.
Yeah, you'll actually. I think we get to talk about me moving one of my Aaron Jones shares a little later. Yes. Oh well, we stayed in the same team, but we'll talk about that. Yeah. So, what is a guiding principle you take with you whether you are offering or evaluating a trade?
If it's real general, I always look at it, and I did just post on Twitter. Rocky was mentioning it before the show started too. Like, I used to be terrible with offering trades, and I've just been trying to, it sounds so stupid, but like, put yourself in the other person's shoes. Like, honestly evaluate their team before I send out a trade, which I was always terrible about. I was just like, well, this is what I need, and this player makes sense for these players that I want. So just do it. Just do it already. But now I do that. Also, as a less general thing, I don't trade for running backs until like right before the season starts anymore, because I've been on that the up and down hype thing, trying to get the most value, you know, before you know the full landing spot depth chart situation. I always lose, so I'd rather just pay the quote-unquote full price for them once we know basically what their situation is. And I build around wide receivers early in the off season, and then much later I go after running back.
I don't know where you found this guy, Rocky, but I like him. He's talking smart right here. I like it.
I think it's a great point we said about the running backs too, about, you know, like I think on another podcast I heard somebody saying like you may have to pay like, you know, whatever it is for Dillon, but you're just going to pay 10% plus for Dillon once Jones leaves. I mean, a lot of it's already baked in, and there'll be some double counting, but you're still going to, you're not paying that much. If you like Dillon, as we were talking about, then you're not going to pay that much more once he leaves, because it's partially baked in anyway.
Yeah, but then you could pay that extra and then Jones gets re-signed and you're sort of screwed.
Exactly. Then you have the certainty, though. So you pay a slight tax, but it's still
absolutely worth it.
Yep.
Absolutely worth it. It's also why I one of the two reasons I don't make many rookie picks. A, I'm terrible at it. And B, I'm fine waiting a couple of months and paying after I see them on the field. Like, I'm still paying for T. Higgins right now, even though, well, I drafted a ton of T. Higgins because I love that man. But still, I pay the pay-up price for him now also, because I've been reassured that I was right, and I'm willing to pay for it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm always a wait-till-I see it kind of guy mostly. And plus, I'm pretty loose with the picks anyway, so I generally don't pay what in the offseason what it takes to get them back a lot of the time. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we have news, like I said before, and I have three things. Well, I had two things written down. I think Rocky was actually nice enough to throw the big news on here. But we're going to start on the bottom and work our way up. I don't know if I'm surprised or not, but the Steelers re-signed Ben Roethlisberger. Like, they worked out their contract stuff. Like, it seemed a little contentious at first, but maybe that's just Ben, because kind of seems like a crappy human being. Sorry if, you know, you're a fan out there listening, but history, I don't know what to tell you. But they came to an agreement. Ben re-signed. Well, I mean, let's talk to Rocky because he's Mr. I love Deontay Johnson. What do you think this does for the Steelers offense? Like, is this a good thing?
I mean, it's certainly better than Mason Rudolph. But yeah, I mean, and this is a good thing for Rocky too, because Rocky has way too many shares of Big Ben.
So. I was going to work that in next. Yeah.
So I was happy to say, I always thought he was coming back anyway. He had that statement earlier in the offseason, I'll play for whatever. And I believe there was a huge cap hit unless he retired, that they were going to have to take on to get rid of him.
Like $40 million, like something ridiculous.
So it was I thought it was pretty much a foregone conclusion he was coming back. But it's nice to see, especially because he's potentially my QB2, hopefully 3, but potentially my QB2 and Trade Addicts 9 because of how I do it. So. But yeah, I think it's going to be the same as what we saw last year. I keep referring to other podcasts, but I did hear somewhere that his last 3 games, his air yards were up significantly. So I don't know, maybe he, a lot of last year was part of the elbow, and maybe he, even at his age, he was recovering some from it. I don't know about that. I think we're going to see a lot of what we saw last year, which is very, very good for my boy Deontay Johnson, because he's great catching those short slants from Big Ben.
The next goal, Rocky, is to remember which podcast you heard it from.
I know.
So you can give people credit for the stuff they say.
I listen to too many, Russ. You know how it is.
I'm just saying, you know, credit where credit's due.
I wish I could. I wish I could credit people. I listen to like 25 of them and I can't remember which one it is.
Jake, are you a old decrepit quarterback guy like Rocky is?
I don't know, when you phrase it like that, it sounds so enticing, but no, I typically have not, at least as it pertains to Big Ben. If you can get a year out of him, which is all you need at this point, you know, and then he's going to die on your roster and that's fine. But if you can get another year out of him, great. And if it's only due to the crazy high volume of that offense, still great. I don't care. That's fine. My only concern is that they actually do incorporate the run more than they did last year, which was just completely absentee. So if they strike even close to a balance, which would mean like, you know, 75 less pass attempts, which would be the norm for every other team in the NFL, then I get a little bit nervous just because the volume is what's so important for everybody there, both for Ben and for the pass catchers. But I don't know. Just ride it. See if it works out again like last year.
Yeah, right. Rocky, are you going to be throwing some seconds around trying to get Ben?
Probably. I mean, I not necessarily, though. The Ben type is not always the guy I'm looking for. I kind of like we've talked about, Kirk is my guy this offseason, yeah. Kirk Cousins. I like to try and get a guy and get 2 to 3 years out of at least.
Yeah.
And Ben seems almost like absolutely a one-year guy. Like, it's hard to see. Even if he still plays in the league, I'm guessing he's probably out of Pittsburgh after this year. And he could certainly be trash after that. But the old decrepit Ben was QB12 in trade out scoring last year.
Oh, yeah. No, he's always been good. You know, usually it is always because they throw the ball 800 times, you know, which is like a good 200 more than anyone else at the top of their, at the top of the list. See, I think I'm going to go start offering seconds for Ben, because I had like 2 or 3 leagues where Philip Rivers was my QB2, and now I have 1 quarterback. So I'm fine. Like, even if Ben ends up by the season starting is my QB3, like you said before, that's perfect for Ben Roethlisberger.
And yeah, if I can't get anything else done, I definitely, he is a guy that you can almost certainly get for a second. No one's going to expect a first for Ben Roethlisberger. And, we were talking about this earlier today, Russ, that I have a number of teams where my quarterback situations are very iffy, because I have Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and some of them Big Ben. But on the ones that don't have Big Ben, it may end up being Big Ben because I don't want to pay a first for somebody else. So it definitely may end up happening. I'll probably target a little higher first, but if I can't get someone else as cheap as I like, I definitely could see more Ben on my rosters.
All right, so let's jump from ridiculously cheap quarterback to, at least in real life, ridiculously expensive quarterback. The Seahawks said they are answering calls for Russell Wilson. Now, will they trade Russell Wilson? No, of course not. Is it fun to think about? Even as a Seahawks fan, yes, it really is. I don't, like, I gotta be honest, I care more about fantasy football than I do real football. I'm a Seahawks fan because it's pretty much a habit at this point. Like, I care a bit about the team. I do freak out when I watch the games. Like, if, when they play at night, like, my wife is in bed sleeping, I'm standing at the foot of the bed, because if I'm sitting in bed watching, I start, like, jumping and bouncing, and it wakes her up, and she gets pissed off. So I literally have to, like, stand. And so, like, I'm still that kind of person. But, like, if you told me that they're going to trade Russell Wilson and go full rebuild, I'd be like, all right, that's fine, whatever. They suck at drafting, so it's going to take a really long time.
True. That is the big question for me. It's like, what are you planning to do? What is your move if you actually do trade Russell Wilson? Like, who are you expecting? Are you going after somebody else in a trade? Or are you, like, actually going to try and draft somebody? I don't know. That scares me.
Like, I feel like if you're doing, like, they have to, like, let's say it was, like, the Jets. Like, you need to go get Sam Darnold plus. Like, like, even if it's with San Francisco and you get, like, Garoppolo plus. Like, because they literally have no one on the roster right now. Like, so they, like, they're, they get, oh, I think it was, well, you were one of the people who's like, I don't want to be in an NFL that doesn't have Ryan Fitzpatrick in it. like, he's saying he might retire because there doesn't seem to be much interest. I would love to see him in this. I would buy that Seahawks jersey.
I would buy that Seahawks jersey. I'm not even a Seahawks fan. That would be incredible. One, just because, like, yes, gunslinger, ahoy, go for it. Why not? That way everybody's happy with DK and Tyler Lockett.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and just because I would custom get one that says Fitzmagic on it. But, like, he seems like such a Pete Carroll kind of guy. They're both big, high energy. I think if like Fitzmagic was going to chew bubblegum, it would probably look like what Pete Carroll looks like. Like, they seem like that kind of guy. Yeah. And I think it would just be so much fun. But, like, yeah, I think if in the 1%, if at all, chance they trade Russell Wilson, they need to get some sort of quarterback back, because I think on their team is Geno Smith and I think Anthony Gordon is his name. And come on, man, this is 2021. You can't have Geno Smith as your starting quarterback. It's just,
no, it's so, I mean, but you really think that there's almost a no chance? Because I'm getting nervous. Like, there was a time where I was like, no, that's dumb. You of course would never do that. But now I don't know. Pete Carroll just seems like is going nuts here.
I've wanted him out for like 4 years now. Like, he's past his prime, but they're still winning enough for that he stays in, which pretty much means Russell Wilson is winning them enough games to keep them in, because nothing Pete Carroll is doing is helping this team win. But this isn't an actual football podcast, so we'll just move on. yes, I really don't think they will trade him. First of all, his contract is rough to move, and one of the three teams already traded for a quarterback, which is the Colts. The Jaguars, who have all the money, are going to take Lawrence, which leaves, I think, Washington.
Sure.
And I don't think they are the kind of team to do that. It would be fun. Man, if we can get, like, Chase Young coming back, that'd be – I'm all in on that. Like, take Russell Wilson. Give me, like, one of the best, youngest pass rushers that are going on. I'll take it. That's fine. I mean, clearly, plus some – few firsts, or just send McLaurin with him also. It's fine. Just keep it coming.
There you go.
Who else? Bring them all over. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really don't think they trade Russ Wilson. But I just think I love this part of the season. Like, right when you're leading up, well, I mean, if there were a combine, it would be soon. The draft is coming up soon. Like, these rumors that swell for no reason whatsoever. Like, the Patriots are going to take a quarterback with their pick. No, they're not. Like, no, it's not what they're going to do. They've never done that. There's no reason for them to do that now. But let's leak the news, because they probably want someone to try and trade up. Like, that, I love this time of year, because it's so silly and it's so much fun just to think of all the stuff that could happen.
For sure. They're doing it for our benefit, really. Yeah. This is what's giving us something to talk about during these doldrums. It's getting us through the days here.
Yeah, thanks, Pete Carroll, for letting us know that you are taking calls for Russell Wilson. And now that Rocky's back from his pee break, because I wasn't going to let him not get called out for it.
I was waiting for that.
I love seeing that little red one pop up on the private chat logo on StreamYard. And then you just see the earbuds start to come off and we both start laughing because we know what's happening. So yeah, the big news, Dak Prescott actually got his contract with the Cowboys. 4 years, $126 million guaranteed. So that's what, 31 and change a year?
That's just the guarantee. The full contract, I think, is like 160.
Oh, so 40 a year.
Yeah.
Good for Dak. Like it. Like I get that. $30-something million is a crap ton of money, but like from a power negotiating standpoint, like for the future, Dak coming back and pretty much taking the offer he said no to would have been rough on his career going forward. So good for him for getting more money and for getting at least four years.
Was the whole issue. I think he wanted it shorter. I think that was the whole issue. They hadn't signed him earlier. Is the Cowboys wanted 5 or 6 to get him locked up, maybe spread the cap hit.
Yeah, that's probably. And also just I love that the Chiefs changed. Like, remember, like, hockey had a thing where they were going for like 20-something year contracts or something? Like, goalies were getting signed for 20 years or something. Like, I love that the NFL threw out a 10-year contract. Like, the average NFL. What?
Baseball is having like 13, 14, 15 year contracts. Yeah.
Like, the average NFL career is less than 3 years, but no, we're signing you to 10.
We're locking you up. And you know what? We're putting your grandkids into a contract now, too. So just deal with it, man.
Yeah, it'll be like the Mets day every year where it's Bobby Bonilla day where they have to pay him a couple of million bucks for a contract they signed in like the late 80s or something.
That's hilarious every year. You see the tweets. It's Bobby Bonilla day.
Bobby Bonilla day.
It's the best holiday. I'm genuinely shocked that that he actually got paid. I don't know. Jerry Jones just – I was saying this all offseason. I didn't trust him. Like, I didn't trust him to actually do what I think is the right thing. I think it's the exact right thing.
Yeah.
Sign him. It would be stupid not to. I mean, you saw what happened with Andy Dalton and company starting for you last year. If you didn't do this, you're just dumb. But I thought Jerry Jones might be that dumb. So this is actually kind of nice to see.
Like, he always, in the end, he usually gets, like, he usually pays the guy he's supposed to pay, but he usually is an ass leading up to the very last second. Right. But, like, so I was more shocked that it happened this early. Like, I figured, like, it would be, like, 2 weeks into camp or something.
That's
like,
what I thought. I thought they'd tag him and it would drag on forever. But I mean, he did pay for Zeke and pay for Amari. So I thought he'd eventually pay for Dak too.
No, yeah, he's fine paying his guys. But again, like with those two, it was at the start of the season. It was at the last freaking minute. It's so weird that this happened in March. But I guess again, there must have been something good on Dak's side of this negotiation that made this happen. In which case, I'm almost always on the player's side. So good for him.
Yep.
Okay, so let's actually turn this into a fantasy football conversation. Well, I guess, is the fact that I think everyone kind of at least like 70-ish% saw this coming, does this change anything for anyone's value on the Cowboys at all?
It shouldn't. For me, I don't think it should. The only thing that maybe you were nervous about is like, if you're saying it could stretch on and on and on, and maybe it didn't even get done by the very start of the season, then you could be, yeah, like if you rolled into the season with the tag.
Yeah.
And for some reason it stretched on, and then you're nervous about how the season starts and if it gets off to a weird start or whatever. Otherwise, I don't think you should be adjusting ranks personally based on this news. Like, I'm not, even though I was nervous about Jerry Jones being an idiot, I wasn't going to bake that into my ranking. So,
yes.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really change anything, but I'm very excited for everybody.
I agree with Jake that it shouldn't change anything, and I'd always banked on Dak coming back. The one who benefits the most to me is Zeke.
Yes.
Just because he was so good with Dak last year and he totally tanked afterwards. And people still hate on Zeke after his horrible RB10 season. So I was kind of pushing I've been on the Zeke bandwagon, this off season, and you can get him pretty low. I don't know if that'll change. I don't think it probably will because he's 26 or whatever it is. And so he might as well be dead, but, yep. But I think you're going to get a great 2021 out of him as long as Dak stays healthy this year.
Yeah. That was going to be the one thing I brought up. And do you remember when Zeke went in the Trade Addicts 9 startup?
I don't remember exactly where it went.
The 301.
Wow.
Right? Wow. Like,
that's around where he's going, though, I think.
Exactly. Like, if his price doesn't change, I might go buy a running back, like, in the offseason, which is weird. But, like, what his upside can be, even if it's just for a year, like, that seems worth it. Like, that seems... But, yeah, he's probably going to die on my team after that because then he's a 27-year-old running back, and then, you know...
He wants that.
But he was half water.
He saw his floor this year, though.
Yes, 100%, Jake. We saw like the lowest he could do, I think. And so, yes, I always say this. I'm like, all right, so I'm going to wait an extra day to put this out so I could actually go and send some trades. And then I never remember to actually wait or send trades before I edit and put it out. And then I send trades like, oh, no, I listen to the show. I'm not selling. Oh, God damn it. I mean, thank you for your loyalty, but God damn it.
It's a double-edged sword, no doubt. Yeah, the Zeke thing is so interesting because I mean, for redraft, it would be crazy for me right now to have him outside of my top. Like, I think anything lower than RB6 just seems really, like, absurd to me. Yes. For redraft. And borderline for dynasty. I'm still like, because I don't trust the shelf life of any particular running back. And so for me, they all might as well be operating on a 1 to 2 year window, even the rookies, because we've gotten so excited about certain rookies who have come into the league. And then like they do have their couple of good years and then they do fade out, and that can still very much happen. So even for dynasty, I'm like, Zeke might crack my top five running backs.
Well, no, I completely get it, because here, this is, I know startup is different than rankings, is different than everything else, but Zeke went as the running back 8, and this was the order it went. Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Swift, Nick Chubb, Zeke Elliott. Now, Jake, is there anybody you would push below Zeke on that list?
Personally, I'm a little nervous still about Swift, I think more than consensus is, only because... Yes, he definitely had spurts last year, but it's been really hard for me to trust a Detroit Lions running back.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about Ameer Abdullah from at the start of the show, like basically, you know, ever since then, it's a little tough. I would rather go with the safety, I think, of Zeke above Swift, but I definitely get Chubb being above him for sure.
That was the wrong answer, Jake, because I have Swift in that league.
I'm so sorry. I'm so very sorry. No,
but
sorry.
I actually hear you. I was on a pod earlier tonight with Michael Bauer, and he pointed out that Deuce Staley is now the running backs coach there, and everyone wanted to get on the Eagles every year and Peterson for their rotation of running backs. And as far as we've been told in Philadelphia, Deuce was responsible for how they rotated the backs. So he even mentioned on that pod a little bit of, and see, I actually can reference that pod. It's the Dynasty Vipers spotlight series for the Philadelphia Eagles, Russ. but yeah, he mentioned maybe a little bit of caution given what Deuce has done in the past. I'm a little worried about that as well. But I also have Saquon and CMC in that league, so I'm good.
You're fine. Jeez.
That was more of like a humble brag more than anything else.
I don't know if there was much humility in that, I'll be honest. I think
it was more just a brag. Right.
I was trying to give Rocky a little bit of credit.
You know who is in contention though to go above Zeke that I kind of thought about, and I've been really, I don't know, Antonio Gibson is so hard for me to place right now, and he's so close to being in that, like right alongside Zeke, at least. So he's the other guy that might sneak in there for me. So maybe as I say that, maybe I'm just talking out of my ass and Zeke should not be in the 6 for Dynasty, but, you know, definitely still in the top 10 for me.
Gibson went RB12 at the 403 in TA9 startup.
Good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, so the thing is, the only thing you'll get people arguing is Gibson scored way too many touchdowns for what he should have. So there's going to be touchdown regression coming. Like, that is like the biggest scary thing. Like, oh no, he scored too many touchdowns. He can't do that again. Sure. And then of course you're sitting behind a Packers logo where you have two guys that everyone screams touchdown regression for, and Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones are going to score their damn touchdowns.
Right. Yeah. I've been hopping off of that touchdown regression thing that used to just, I would just assume it every single year for anybody that scored above like 10 for a skill position player. It's like, they're going to be in the single digits this year, which could very well happen with him. I also think, not to get too far off topic, but I think that the catches should probably go up for Gibson to maybe offset that a little bit. So,
yeah, and they're actually, well, I mean, we know they're going to have a new quarterback. We just don't know who it is right now.
Right.
Because they said they're parting ways with Alex Smith. Haskins is gone. So all they have left is which the Allens, I can't remember. And
Kyle.
And Heinicke.
Heinicke season.
Yeah, maybe, right? He was Superman for that one game, so maybe it'll work, right?
He had the best game in the playoffs against the Bucks.
I would like Deshaun Watson to go there personally. That's been my dream journaling throughout this last few weeks is to get. And I know, obviously, going from Houston management to Washington management is exactly what he would want.
Oh my God.
But all of that notwithstanding, that's what I would love to see.
Well, you just got to. It seems like the Bears trading for a high end quarterback is out of the question. So, I mean, at least that's good for your fandom.
True. Very true. I was nervous. I'm actually really glad that you said, Russ, you feel like there's no chance of a Wilson trade because I was nervous that he was going to go to the Bears and then ruin most of my Sundays.
The question is, why the hell does he want to go to the Bears?
Nobody wants to go to the Bears, but Mortensen, Chris Mortensen, that's his name. I go to call him Mort Report because that's his freaking Twitter handle. Just came out and said that Wilson to the Bears is worse than a pipe dream. Like it's literally just not happening.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay, so that is our news, and we're going to go into our main event, I guess, because that's what's next on the show sheet. And I didn't feel like trying to think about clever orders or anything. And this is something I wanted to bitch about a little bit in the first place, but then when I was asking the Cool Kids Club what we should talk about, they brought it up anyway. So I feel like it's not just me wanting to bitch, which I guess makes me feel a little better for some reason. So aging assets on a rebuilding team is the topic of conversation. And this came up because of a ridiculous conversation I had in one of the TA chats about Travis Kelce. And right off the bat, Justin Rogers, who is our B team guy, asks, how desperate should rebuilders be to sell older players? Guys like Kelce, for instance, and he also listed Davante Adams, which other Justin Mercer said, what is the value of Davante Adams, especially on a rebuilding team? So we just kind of threw that all into one big mush. Jake, well, how many leagues are you in, Jake? Because I know you said that you've been playing for like 5-ish years and you've talked like you're in a few, but like how many are we talking?
I promised myself I was going to cut down this year and then I joined two more immediately, like immediately. So I am now... I think I'm just in the six for right now.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to feel better about it, ask Rocky.
Dare I? There's no way it's under double digits. So what's the score? No.
I believe it's 31. Maybe 32. I just added one of Ryan McDowell's Kitchen Sink Leagues.
I got hot. My head got hot when you said that.
For people listening at home, Jake almost spit out his drink when I said
he did.
Oh my goodness. That's terrifying to me. So no, six is plenty for me.
Yeah.
For right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the mid-30s 2 years ago, and I got myself down, including the redraft leagues I'm going to do, to 24. So I feel pretty good about that.
It gives me the shakes.
Still beyond Jake's imagination.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, there's 9 trade addicts league. I mean, I'm never getting down to
that six. Alone. Yeah.
Besides the many other leagues I run. So yeah, it's definitely never going to happen.
Wow.
Okay. But have you gone through a rebuilding process at all in any of your teams yet, Jake?
I have. So a team that I picked up a couple of years ago was an orphan. It's the first time I'd ever done that. And it was excruciating. It was one of the worst teams I've ever seen. And so my favorite thing about doing that, though, is, of course, the trade offers come in fast and furious when you are the new guy in an existing league. They're testing the waters with you, trying to figure out basically how dumb you are, I think, is what I got from all of the initial trade offers. And, you know, it was a super deep bench league. So there was 35 plus your IR plus your taxi squad. So there was a lot of depth on these teams. And so that orphan was, I don't know, it was eye-opening, I think, to because all you're doing to try and get yourself out of that hole is trading. And a lot of it was trading for draft picks, which isn't something that I normally would do. Normally, I'm more like you, Russ. I'm like, get those picks out of here. I'm bad with them. I know I'm bad with them, so I don't want them. You take them, and you give me a premium, hopefully, for them. but yeah, interesting, and I think this probably relates to it. That team... I had Julio Jones on it, and this was 2 years ago. So this was, you know, he's 31 now?
He was probably 29, like the end of his prime.
So that's definitely, I mean, that's a year or two older than Devontae. So that's definitely in the same boat. And I was like, well, what's a fair price for him? I don't know what to get rid of him for or if I should get rid of him. I did, ultimately. And I got, I think, an okay return on it.
Yeah, because the reason it brought I got brought up in my league chat was because I joined a second chance dispersal, and the way I was grabbing my team, it was mostly going to be a rebuild anyway, just because usually when you do a dispersal, your team's not going to be great. Like, usually there's a reason teams join a dispersal. You know, so, but still, I grabbed Aaron Jones and Travis Kelce because I figured that they have value. They should be moved easily and moved for a decent return. I just finally traded Aaron Jones away, which we'll talk about a little later. But I can't move Kelce for the life of me. Mm-hmm. And we got into the conversation. Well, first of all, one of the guys was like, he's 34, he's this, he's that. I'm like, well, first of all, he's 31. Show some damn respect.
Be adding numbers just for the sake of doing it.
Yeah. And it's just like, I get it. It's tough. Like, we were talking about running backs before. Moving them now it's tough. So moving high-end assets, especially guys, the fact that we're calling a 31-year-old tight end old is just ridiculous because they play into their mid-30s. So you still have a couple of years. A guy that has never shown an ounce of decline is on the best offense of the league with the quarterback worth signing for 10 years who uses him as his blankie where he gets at least 10 targets every single TA4, you listening? Travis Kelce is awesome. You should trade a good trade. Send me good trade offers for him.
I believe he had the most receiving yards for a tight end ever this year.
And he outscored Davante Adams in our league, who was the wide receiver one, by 45 points.
And no, basically no injury history. So
yeah, there you go. Except like his first year in the league. But no, let's offer Daniel Jones in a couple of thirds.
Mm. Gross.
That was my most recent offer.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
I hope you're listening because that was a dick move for me to call you out, but at least I didn't name you by name.
That's like a Jake offer from 2 years ago.
That is 100% a Jake offer from 2 years ago. That might have been a Jake offer last year, I'll be honest. I've just really recently turned that corner.
Okay, so the question is, do you feel an urge to burn it all down right away, I guess is what it comes down to. And my answer was, this is going to be a very do as I say, not as I do moment for me, because the real answer is be patient. You can trade running backs when you get to the season, when people want to start setting lineups, and especially once Aaron Jones finds a team. You know, when people realize that the season's about to start and you're like, man, I have a great roster. Let me go get the best damn tight end that's ever played this damn game. Because he's been the tight end one 5 years in a row, and no one's ever come close to doing that before TA4. 5 years in a row, TA4. And TA1, Rocky.
I tried to buy Kelce.
I know. And we'll get it done by the season. I'm sure we will, too. Okay. That's the thing. So the question is, I guess, Jake, do you have patience is what it comes down to? Because the correct answer, I think, and everyone realizes the correct answer, is at least wait till the rookie draft to try and get picks that are more solidified, where you, after the NFL draft, you know, you have a better idea of where rookies will be drafted. So at what point do you find yourself starting to get that, like, that pressure in your chest that you need to get these points off your team?
I guess the cop-out answer is that, yes, you should be patient, as you said, and like no, I said, most times I cannot be. Yep. But very recently I've started to come around to this, and I think I finally have the timing of trading down a little bit more than I did, which is if you are a rebuilding team and you've fully made that decision, you've committed to it, and you're not flip-flopping back and forth, which has also been my issue in the past, is am I really truly a rebuilding team? Wait, no, I think I only need a couple of players here and then I should be good. And I do that dance. And after I've finally committed to the rebuild, then everything that I do is basically done in season. I almost do nothing off season aside from trying, you know, scoop up some waiver gems or guys who I would say have a path to hype. Basically, mm-hmm. Not even like a path to real production, but just here's somebody that is probably going to be talked about in blurbs down the road. I'll snag him up, hopefully trade him later.
Yeah, trade him for a third, and you got him for nothing off the wire. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. But for the actual big assets, like a Julio type thing, that had to be done in season for me. Because one, like you said, people don't want those old guys until they think they need them. Yep. And as soon as they think they need them, great. Then you can also get the picks that nobody thinks they want or need during season, because The hype of the rookie draft is way far off in the distance at that point. Yep. So your max value is probably, you know, a few weeks into the season. It can be tough to wait that long because you hate going into weeks with these guys who are scoring you points, especially if that's the last thing you want to do because you want to try and get the higher pick. Mm-hmm. But in the long run, I think that's how you get the most value.
Yeah, and you and Jake are both completely right. But to illustrate just how much Russ is do as I say, not as I do, he literally put a post, I think it was TA8.
Oh, yeah.
We'll I want Julio Jones off my freaking team.
The title
I will
of
take
the message
best board. Offer by Monday.
The title of the message board post was Julio Frickin' Jones.
Nice.
Yep.
But I agree. I'm also a guy who's not very patient, but I'm also going to not move them for less than what I think they're worth. So I definitely think it's the way to go. And I had a lot of success with this on a team I was rebuilding last year. I tried all off season. I had Adams. I think I had Thielen and Rodgers, but I didn't have a lot else. And I was getting nothing done all off season. Even waiting until August, you can get, you know, everybody starts thinking about points as we get toward, even if you don't wait till in season. Yeah. And the one danger I will tell you, because this league, I managed to sell a bunch of those guys and I have 5 firsts. But apparently some of these teams are right on how good their teams are going to be because 4 of those are in the, like, 7 to 12 range. Unfortunately, it worked out too well for those teams who traded me their picks. But I my own pick, I think, is the only one that's actually, like, top 5. But I do have 5 firsts in that league. So you can get a lot more done at that point. And it's definitely the way to go. It's just going to be hard to do when you're – trade addicts like we are.
And the unfortunate part of this, the answer to the second part is like the value of Kelsey or the value of Adams. You know, it's like that old answer about pornography. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you when I see it. Like, if you ask me what the right price for Kelsey is, I can't tell you because every single offer I've sent that, even if I thought it was just fair, has gotten rejected. The same thing for Adams. Like, you can't age down at all from Devontae Adams, even if you're giving up value, because he's 27, which means he's about to hit that cliff in 3 years. Right. Like, he was the wide receiver 1 by a decent margin last year. There's no reason for that to change. Okay, well, maybe the Packers don't bring in wide receiver 2s. Let's face it. Like, it's not gonna, like, everyone's like, Juju to the Packers would be such a great move. It would. Not gonna happen.
But when Devin Funchess comes knocking on the door in 2021, that'll see his value tank.
There you go. it's so weird to me that what we talk ourselves into to not want to try and make a trade, like, in March. Like, cause I really do believe that once August hits around, once September hits, I'll be able to move Kelsey and Adams, like, super easy. I don't think it'll be a problem. But right now, like, I was trying to get – I pretty much almost went straight up Adams for A.J. Brown. And, okay, it was – excuse me. It was Tyler from last week who is an admitted ageist. And he's like, yeah, no, that's not happening. He's like, I'm probably never giving you A.J. Brown. You might as well give up on him. Like, I'm not going to give up, but I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, so I wish I could give a better answer. I wouldn't settle for less than multiple firsts for both of them, value-wise at least, not, you know, direct picks. Because when you're selling big guys like that, I mean, it's pretty much just like cliche at this point, but like you should be getting solid production back as well, even if you're rebuilding. Like, don't forget, A, you want players to score eventually, and like you need to build around players that are actually doing well. You can't rebuild just through draft picks. The hit rate isn't good enough, you know, or unless you are that good. If you are, I'll pay you to draft for me. Like, seriously, I'm not beyond that. Like, let's do it. I want to win some more leagues. Let's go. But like you need to get their value. Like, I maybe gave up some value with Julio Jones, but the only reason I did that with Julio is because there's literally zero chance of his value ever going up at all ever again because he's 31. And because of right now, who knows what's going on with the Falcons? Like, there's just no way his value is ever going to change. So I just took what I can get to get out of it. I rambled a lot. Does anyone have anything to say after that?
just to the point you said, even me, who's like super non-ageist. I even kind of, you keep trying, and in almost all the Trade Addicts leagues you've added me to since I became co-host.
I somehow have home zone feeling on every damn team.
You try to sell me all the old guys, and I'm even reluctant to buy them at this point. Just because I don't want to keep taking on guys whose value is going to go down, especially because I tend to draft that way anyway. But, but yeah, so even me who there's so many people who are way more ageist than I am. It's just like impossible to get what you think they should be worth. Even the high end guys, like you said, like Adams and Kelsey, it's ridiculous.
I think to a certain extent too, like if you want to try and move these guys, if you are a little less patient and you don't want to wait for the season to start or nearly start to do that, like what I found was helpful because I actually had Julio in another league. I was a big Julio fan and for good reason, I think. But yeah. He, you know, this last season, it was tough, especially if you wanted to trade him because the production wasn't there. For him. Mm-hmm. So that makes it even trickier for somebody who is admittedly elite and who had played through injuries all of his career to all of a sudden see him succumb to them. It's tough to try and project that value onto somebody for a trade partner. But if you can trade them away for other out of sight, out of mind players, like I recently traded him, this was a couple months ago, you wouldn't be able to do this today, but I traded him for Cortland Sutton, who sat out
the
entire
name
year.
That came to mind. Great move.
So it's like, if you can do that, again, that's an injured person people aren't thinking about that is younger, you know, that's another shot at least.
No, that's beautiful. That's, I would much rather have gotten Cortland Sutton than the trade I did that we'll get to in a minute. But I guess we might, I think like we answered that question as well as we can. So we might as well just jump to Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points for reception for tight ends. And 0.05 points for return yardage because there are no Trade Addicts 1 trades. So, what's his name? Rocky, that's his name. He set me up before in Trade Addicts 8. I did his dispersal again because if there's a dispersal, chances are I'm just going to join it for the hell of it. And again, you coming out of dispersal, chances are your team's not great. But I grabbed Julio because I thought I'd be able to move him. And I wasn't able to, so I threw on the message board, Julio frickin' Jones. I want Julio Jones off my team by the end of this weekend. Send me offers. I'll take the best. I got 3 offers. Whatever. I'm just going to give you the... I got Julio Jones for a 22 second. And the guy even says, like, look, just in case you don't get anything, I wanted you to get something. And I'm like, you know what? I legitimately appreciate that. Curtis Samuel and a 22 third. Okay, I wasn't going to call you out, but that was Rocky's. And
damn it, Rocky.
The trade I picked was Julio straight up for Laviska Shenault. And honestly, I was kind of close to picking Rocky's also because I like Curtis. Like, if I had an idea of where he was going to go, I may have been more likely to take it. But yeah. Visca's younger, and he's going to be on the team with Trevor Lawrence, so hopefully his value bumps and all of that stuff. But so tell me. In the situation I am in, where I am Mr. Zero Patience, Jake, what do you think of Julio for Laviska Shenault?
In that situation, I really don't hate it because you do have a player that, at the very least, what you got in return with Visca, like he should go up. He really, his value should go up, if nothing else, whether it's hype, whether it's warranted, whether it's not. I don't think that we've seen nearly the cap on his value. So even if this is a placeholder trade to where mm-hmm. you could trade Visca away later once his value's increased, I don't hate that. Out of the 3 that you listed there, the first one was definitely the worst in my opinion, the 2022 second. And that's just because there's my impatience showing. I don't want to trade for a 2022 pick, let alone just a second for Julio. And Curtis, exactly. Curtis Samuel, if we knew what his situation was going to be, where he was going to land, that'd be different. Yeah. But right now, he's a good player who could end up in any number of bad situations. So I would have done Visca too.
First of all, just a little background on my offer of the Samuel in the third. Russ had offered me Samuel in a second before he put this post on the message board. And I had been sitting there looking at it, and I couldn't decide whether to do it. So I figured, Well, maybe he won't get any other Julio offers, so I'll turn with Samuel on a third and see if I can get. I guess I got a little too cute with it because I was okay with taking on Julio.
This, I probably would have taken. Samuel in the second. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I was just looking too on February or is it? Yeah, it's still February ADP Superflex. LaVisca's wide receiver 32. Julio's wide receiver 34.
Oh my god, that's so wrong.
Wow.
So apparently that is the correct value. And I probably would prefer to wait a little longer and try and get more. But I totally get in the situation you were in, yeah, being impatient, just wanting to get rid of him. I think you got good value and he'll probably get a Trevor Lawrence bump and maybe especially if he has a good, you know, first month of the season, you could sell him probably for way more than you can sell Julio for at 31 or 32.
Right. Okay, so the two things I will add to this before we move on. If anyone in your leagues is as dumb as I am and does something like, I'm going to take a trade, whether I like it or not, always send something because you never know that one time where they don't get anything and they might take your somewhat crappy offer. So always go for it. And also, after I did this, I put a poll on Twitter because I'm a glutton for punishment. But it ended up being Julio 54% to Visca 46, which to me in Twitter polls, that means it's even. So
I mean, Julio is going super late in startups. I think he went the eighth in ours and he went ninth in the only other one I've done this offseason. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Age right now in startups, age is just like a death knell. It's like ridiculous. Like if you're older than 24, you're dropping.
Well, and I just think every year too, we just as a community get more and more and more ageist. It's insane. Like I think I put out a tweet a little while back that, you know, everyone wants to make DK Metcalf and wide receiver one. I can't wait until 4 years when he's 27 and I can buy him all off of you because he's dead at that point. Yep. And I get his prime years.
Yep. Yeah, and me, a Seahawks fan, is selling him at the wide receiver three value that he's getting because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. Let's go back to I was referring, insinuating, teasing. I can't remember the real word that I was about to say, but I talked about it before when I had Aaron Jones that I picked up in dispersal. In TA4, I traded Aaron Jones for Jordan Love, the 201 and the 301. So, Packers fan, how do you feel about that?
I don't
getting past the fact that it felt like the dumbest thing in the world that they drafted Jordan Love.
Thank you for just acknowledging that elephant in the room. But, you know, even with that said, like, I know the offseason reports this time of year, everything's rosy with everybody everywhere. And the presuming thought is Aaron Rodgers is going to play another 10 years in Green Bay now because he is going to stick around for 2021. I could very well see a world where Jordan Love is starting for the Packers in 2022. I very easily could see that. I don't care how nice the relationship is there between coach and quarterback, it's business and shit happens. So, but even with Love out of the way, 201 and 301, look for any running back that is outside of the locked in, like five up at the top. I don't even hate that anymore because I am so tired of trying to project a player who could get moved still. Aaron Jones could be on any team. Yeah. And that situation is very unlikely to stay steady or get better. It's only probably going to get worse for him, sadly, no matter where he goes. Like I just looked up for the last 5 years for running backs who finished in the top 12 and then got moved the next year. And they dropped wildly. It was from like an average of RB, whatever, you know, top 12 to like RB 40. Oh, that's wow. Just how drastic that happens when they move teams. And yeah, there's some outliers like, you know, David Johnson and whatnot. Who I guess gives some value for you, and that's what you're hoping for with Aaron Jones. But a 201 and a 301 and a presumed starting quarterback at some point, you know, I don't hate it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what my thought process was. I'll let you go in a second, Rocky, because I rejected a trade offer of the 111 and the 212 for Aaron Jones from this guy. So the fact that I got Jordan Love, the 201 and the 301, I kind of feel good about that. Like, that's... I mean, the picks are not far apart from what I was looking for in the first place. And then I got a dude that should at some point start at quarterback because he was drafted in the first freaking round. Like that's what I told myself when I did this.
Sure.
Like it won't be this coming year. Hopefully the next, maybe not, but sooner or later, he's getting Montana or Brady or whatever you want to say, where he's great, we get it, but it's just time to go.
Right.
Or Favre, even, really, I guess. I mean, to, you know, call it That's what it out. Is.
Yeah, right. I probably prefer the Aaron Jones side on this one. 301 doesn't mean much to me, and I just don't have a lot of confidence in Jordan Love. Even taking out the whole when the hell will he start? I mean, it could be 2022. It could be 2024. We don't know. And I don't have the patience to wait for that. And the other thing is, too, even going from what I remember from last year, and a lot of the smart people I listened to on Rookies, a lot of people were very iffy on Jordan Love to begin with. So even when he starts, we don't know if he's going to be good. So you're basically, it's Jordan, you know, a very iffy Jordan Love, and then the 2-1 and 3-1. I mean, I know Aaron Jones is iffy himself. I'd rather hold out for something else, or just ride with Aaron Jones. I don't know what your team looks like in TA4.
Bad.
But
okay, so you want to get complete trash.
You Aaron definitely want to get rid Kelsey. Of him. Yeah. But I would probably rather hold out for something else rather than take that one, personally. No,
And again, I did feel good about this because with that 111 and the 212, like I thought, honestly, that was probably the best I was going to get. I agree with Jake. I don't think there's a better situation than where he was for him. So, like, I see his value going down and now with that new thing you just said, where any top 12 like just drops precipitously, like I feel better about it. Now I'm going to have to say again, I'm going to wait a day for this and trade my other Aaron Jones shares just because I'm terrified.
I've heard rumors of him going to Miami. You think he takes a dip there? Even if he doesn't maybe go up, does he take it?
Thanks for finding the one answer for where it gets better, Rocky. But that is probably true.
I think that's one of two teams where it gets at least as good for him or potentially better. And it's that or it's Atlanta. I don't see a way that he realistically goes to Atlanta. Miami seems like the only. Right. So Miami would be the realistic option where it could get good or better. But I don't think it gets better there either. I think it, you know, you can see him hit that top five, fringe top five space for a season, and then who knows, because Gaskin certainly did well there.
I was going to say, he's not going to do well as Miles Gaskin's backup, so.
But I could definitely see, Twitter getting all hyped up on Aaron Jones, and, you know, he's going to be the lead back in Miami.
Yes.
Miles Gaskin is now dead. He's not going to Jamal Williams Aaron Jones like Jamal Williams did. So
yeah, that's what Savon Ahmed's going to do. No, but like, that is probably, absolutely right. Yeah. You did absolutely give the one right answer that I did not think of at the time. See? Smart guy. Okay, so let's cross that off the list and let's move on to the next one. I did this afternoon because I didn't feel like working. In Trade Addicts 5, the trade was Derek Carr, Christian Kirk, and a 22 second for Terry McLaurin. What do you think about that, Rock? You're muted.
Oh, I know. I was just talking to myself. So, yeah, Terry McLaurin. I think Liam McLaurin. Derek Carr is probably that person's QB3, I'm guessing. And Christian Kirk, I don't have a lot of faith in. Jake talked about 22 picks earlier. I'm not dying for them at this point. So I generally like to get the best player in the deal. And if you're sending three guys for Terry McLaurin, none of them are probably great, which is the case here, three pieces. So I'd rather take I generally in a 3-for-1, I'm going to decide on the one. And I'm very high on McLaurin anyway, especially if they can get just competent quarterbacking in
anyone.
Washington. Yeah. So I would take the McLaurin side on that one for sure.
What about you, Jake?
That's an easy McLaurin for me. And nothing against Derek Carr, by the way. I do think the guy gets crapped on a lot.
Yes.
He's a very competent quarterback. And for fantasy, he's a very competent quarterback. So I don't see any issues there. And if the Raiders want to stick with him for another year, cool. And he could then eventually float around the league maybe and land somewhere else where he gets a starting gig. Great.
That really feels like it, right?
Yeah, that's fine. You know, and that's fine. But it's not Terry McLaurin. And Terry McLaurin, what was he, wide receiver 20 this last year with that rotation of quarterbacks? Are you kidding me? His star is only shining upwards. And yeah, Kirk, I have nothing. I want nothing with Christian Kirk at all. So yeah.
See, I like Christian Kirk. If you're patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, if you are a member and watching us live stream this, you saw me dancing when everyone picked the McLaurin side because I traded away the Derek Carr side for Terry McLaurin. Carr was my QB3 and I was bored. So I went and looked to see who needed a quarterback, and that's how this whole thing started. And I think my original offer was just Carr and Kirk for McLaurin. But I like Kirk, especially if Larry Fitzgerald finally just gets the hell out of the damn league. Like, it'll get Kirk on the field more. And if he can stay healthy, I think he can do really well. But that's a lot of cans for someone that we've seen do it, you know, twice already with trash at quarterback. And I don't think I have another Terry McLaurin share. And I have plenty of Christian Kirk shares. So I'm like, let's try and see if I can do this. And plus, I just knew we probably needed more trades to talk about on the show. So I'm like, let me just do one on a Monday afternoon.
You're doing good work. You really are.
It's for the people. That's why I do it. All right. So we have two small ones, and they're both in Trade Addicts 8. Let's talk about let's get mine out of the way. Just because everyone in the world knows that I'm a Terrell Williams fan, because anytime someone tweets about him, I reply with the GIF of the gazelles bouncing. Like, ever since he was the Charger in that year where Keenan Allen got hurt and he did really well, I'm like, this is my dude. This is my dude. He's a free agent. Let's do this. The Raiders? Why? No. But I still believe, and now he's on Detroit, where if they don't tag Galladay, it's the gazelle / Quintus Cephas show. Yeah, they have this like TJ Hockenson guy, but that doesn't matter. It was Terrell Williams for the 406 and a 22 fifth, because as we talked to Tyler last week, he loves doing stupid trades like that, and he had Tyrell Williams. He's like, hey Russ, I got you, don't worry.
Nice. Yeah, this seems like that kind of trade where it's like, well, what else are we going to do this afternoon? Yep. Let's just move some pieces around the board for the fun of it. I actually, for what it's worth, I lean the Williams side. I'm picking him up in every league with like fab. Yeah. And a fourth, 406, and a fifth is basically fab money at that point for me. Because, I'm terrible with regular picks, let alone late round dart throws. So might as well.
Yeah, I'm with Jake. Most of my leagues don't even have fifths, so I'm fine with that.
Legit don't know why I put fifths in the league, but they're there and they're not going away.
For this trade, Russ, for this exact trade.
Yeah, this is why I did it. My master plan, 4 years, that was the long con. So the last trade we have, it was also Trade Addicts 8. It was a 22 first for Sam Darnold. Jake.
I am firmly on the side of the first. I know what I said about 2022 picks in the past, in the very recent past. But let me completely change my perspective on that with this trade. Sam Darnold, for me, I feel bad for him, and I've made so many excuses for him. I want to like Sam Darnold. I truly want to give him the benefit of the doubt, and that it was Adam Gase's fault, and that it was his lack of weapons' fault. But a person much smarter than me pointed out what Joe Flacco's stats looked like in that exact offense with that exact personnel as compared to Sam Darnold. And it was terrifying to me. So ever since, I'm just off Darnold. And maybe they give him another shot for one more year. But it's truly his last go around if they do. And I would rather have a first round pick. If this was a second, it'd be a lot closer for me, though.
Everything Jake said, I'm not giving up a first for Sam Darnold at this point. I don't even feel confident that he definitely has a job in 2021. I think he likely does, but I think there's certainly a chance the Jets draft a quarterback. There's certainly a chance they don't find a trade partner that wants to start him. I would rather have the first. I'm not paying a first for any quarterback that I don't know is going to be a starter. Maybe in a month if I know he's starting somewhere, or 2 months, maybe. But even then, like Jake said, he's shown flashes, but he's never finished very well. He's been like QB 20 something almost every season he's been in the league. So even then, I'm not sure, but definitely not right now.
Yeah, this is tough for me because I really am a Darnold believer. Like at the end of last season, I just kept saying Darnold to the Colts over and over again because I wanted to speak it into existence. But we all knew that Wentz was going to end up there because they were the only ones that could afford that money, that contract, and everything. But still, I just kept saying it. But there's still so many the Niners don't want Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, Sam Darnold is a California kid. You know, it makes sense. Send him back there. It's fine. You know, there's a couple of places where I think even if he's battling for the starting position, I think he has a chance because I'm still making those excuses. You know, I'm still a step behind you, Jake, where I believe in the player. So I'm like, it's all Gase. It's all, you know, because like when he and Robbie Anderson were healthy at the same time, they balled the hell out.
True.
So, and that's what I cling to, that one stupid small 5 or 6 game sample size that didn't even happen in a row.
But it was so good.
Yeah. And the fact that I live in Jersey and I got to see it in person for 2 separate games where I'm just like, no, this is real. Let's do this. Yes. And it's one of the reasons I love Sutton so much. I saw him just manhandle the Jets defense, which wasn't very good in the first place, but not even jumping off the ground, just like lifting his arm up and grabbing it from a defender. It's just like, okay, no, yeah, I like that guy. I believe in Darnold. I think he can be a thing. But at this point, I think you're right. I would have to be very confident in my team to give up a first. Like, I need to know I'm going to make the freaking finals, like, or at least I should. Like, that needs to be a very, very end of the first. And I need to be. Something has to happen for me to feel better. Like, if I start hearing a rumor about Darnold to somewhere, maybe I throw that out. But right now, I'm still on the side of, I'm on the first. I agree. I get it. If for other people to do it, it's just, it's not a me thing.
Can I ask, what if you hear the rumor of Darnold to the Bears? What does that do to this trade for you guys?
I knew that's the team you were gonna say when you started that sentence.
I was just curious. Because, if they do need to change a pace and they don't want to pay out of pocket for these big-time guys.
I mean, if they are dumb, if the Bears are dumb to also tag Allen Robinson, then I freaking love it.
Ooh.
I also think that the Bears, their defense is good enough that I think that they're not going to take it slow. Like, I think the Bears are going to push. Like, they're going to try and compete. So I think they're going to bring in another wide receiver. So I would buy in on that. Like, I wouldn't try to pay a first. I'd try and see if I can, you know, get him for a second. But I think if I start hearing, like Mort or Schefter's like, this seems like it's going to happen sooner or later, I would start by sending a second and see what happens. But I think at the end, I probably would pay a first for him.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would. But partially too, because I don't believe they're going to tag Robinson, and I don't think he's going to be back there. Yeah. And I mean, if they bring someone else in, maybe if Galladay ends up with the Bears or something like that, there's talk that he might, if he does get tagged, even be traded with the tag and things like that. Although I guess they might not do it in division. But if they got somebody else, then maybe. But I just don't feel real confident that Darnold's going to go there and Matt Nagy is going to unlock Darnold. So
Nagy's at least a step up from Gase. Let's call that what it is. But it's not much of a little bit. Step,
it's yeah, a step. Exactly. That's my thing. I'm not real confident in Nagy's ability to produce a good fantasy quarterback. So
if he keeps taking those steps, by the time Darnold's 30, he'll play for a good coach.
There you go.
Great.
That's the way you got to think about it. Baby steps. Baby steps to the car. Baby steps to the stadium. Baby steps to a good coach. That's the way you got to do it.
See, I like your glass half full perspective.
Yeah, if I'm going to give up the 22 first, I'd probably try and aim a little higher than
Darnold. All right, Jake is a baby, but please tell me you got my What About Bob reference, Rocky.
I don't know if I've ever seen What About Bob from beginning to end. I've seen pieces of it. I'm sorry, Russ.
I hate you.
You know, I'm much more of a pop culture guy than your former co-host.
But
Bob is not one I think that I've ever seen the full movie.
Homework.
Go watch I'll have you to went go too watch
niche.
It.
You went too niche, Russ. You need to go more mainstream.
And I do Richard love
Bill. And Bill Murray. How's that not mainstream?
I love Bill Murray. Yeah, I'm surprised I've never seen that. But yeah,
it's a very good movie. I do recommend it. But I've been riding a high today. I made a movie reference to my boss, and she got it. Without even thinking, I work from home, and she types like, "Hey, can you do this for me?" And I reply, "I'm right on top of that, Rose," and you're both staring at me blankly like you've never seen Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which means you have extra homework.
I have seen it. I don't remember it well enough.
I quote that movie so much. So much. Like, their parents go away, and like the movie title says, their babysitter dies almost instantly, and it's a mess and everything. And at one point, the Christina Applegate, who's the oldest sister, asks her brother to do the dishes. So he takes them outside and throws them in the air like they're skeets and starts shooting at them. And like, he hits a plate and he goes, "Dishes are done, man." To this day, every time I wash the goddamn dishes, "Dishes are done, man." Like, I quote that movie so, it is like the most late 80s, early 90s thing you will ever see, because it's about fashion. And oh my God.
I watched The Burbs this weekend because my fiance couldn't believe I'd never seen The Burbs with Tom Hanks. So I feel like there's a lot of these that are just outside my wheelhouse. I need to get better. Yeah. That's a me problem.
No, and the last time I was on the open bar, we were talking about The Burbs. So there you go, taking it full circle about the stuff we were talking about before.
Yes.
All right, well, that is the last Trade Addicts trade we have on here. So let's move on to, we have two listener questions. Let's get to the first one. Gary Atkinson at Gary Echo 17. Bottom of the barrel players that you might target just on the off chance they have a comeback season. I'm talking John Brown, Sammy Watkins kind of guys. Any players going under the radar that you think could have one more good season in them? Tyrell the Gazelle Williams. Just saying. Jake, you have any guys that come to mind?
Yeah, the first one that comes to mind doesn't technically fit this, but he's so underappreciated that I still want to put his name out there. Brandon Cooks. Yes.
Will never be appreciated. It's fine.
My goodness. It's ridiculous. But outside of him, yeah, there's definitely some under the radar guys. Like, I'm looking through my roster right now in one league that is basically all these players. Tariq Cohen, I think, is an interesting one. Yes, he's coming back from an injury, which is always scary.
But it happens at the beginning of the year, right? So he should be healed by the time the season comes back.
I hope so. And yes, David Montgomery did look good this last year. Certainly, I won't argue that. I know some folks would. I think he looked good. But is that enough to keep Tariq Cohen's role off the field, especially if they don't bring in a bunch of wide receiving help? No, I think he's going to get plenty of receptions if that's the case. I'm also kind of interested in Nelson Aguilar, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say. But he proved himself, I think, extravagantly this last year, and nobody really noticed and nobody cared because he was wide receiver 34, which isn't like knocking the face good. But for Nelson Aguilar, who was the scourge, Rocky, obviously, come on. He was the scourge of the Eagles for so long, and probably rightfully so. But, you know, and no, we don't know if he's going back with the Raiders or not, or where he's going to land. But I think he gave himself a shot to land in hopefully a good situation. So I'll scoop him up for sure. There's also some dudes that I'm just scooping up on the off chance that they land somewhere not like terrible. Like, actually, this is not a good example, but it's the one that came to mind, is Hayden Hurst. We know he's going back with Atlanta, but with the change in coaching staff, I'm very hopeful in Hayden Hurst becoming something. And tight ends, it's a crapshoot, and I don't even really like to talk about tight ends most of the time because it's just not worth your time most often. But Hayden Hurst is somebody that I'm interested in.
I was looking at it. First of all, before I get to the guys I was looking at, I was looking at ADP to try and like help me come up with the guy. And is it just me or Corey Davis is a wide receiver 50? Is that crazy or?
People won't let him rebound. Like, his value is never going to go up. It's the way it is. He disappointed people on a very high level. So even if he goes to a good, like, even if he goes to Green Bay, because Corey Davis should be a wide receiver 2 on the team. I feel like that's what we've learned. And he has like such a solid freaking season, like wide receiver 22 season. He's not going to get higher than wide receiver 40 ADP than afterwards.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me. He's coming off. If he wasn't wide receiver 2, he was a very high end wide receiver 3 last year. I don't remember exactly where he finished.
Oh, I'm far too lazy to look that up.
Yeah, me too.
Pick one and I'll ride with it.
But I just can't believe that he's that low. I mean, and there's a possibility a situation could get even better. Like if he becomes Green Bay's wide receiver two, that ever elusive unicorn.
Right.
Even with Devontae Adams there, I mean, he's got a huge QB upgrade and all that. But anyway, I just thought that was nuts. Looking at guys, I actually found two guys that are actually on the same team. That I also don't hate the Sammy Watkins one that he mentioned.
Yes, I thought of that too. I'm like, wait, no, he said that already.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hashtag Team Clem's a big wide receiver. I'll always believe in Sammy Watkins.
And at the very least, you know you're going to get a big week one out of him. So
yeah, right? Week one.
But the two guys I saw when I was looking at the ADP, one was Marvin Jones. I think he could still get a decent year out of him. I mean, he actually had a fairly good year last year, especially with Galladay out. It's obviously going to be very dependent on where he ends up. If he ends up like on the Jets or something like that with a rookie quarterback or Sam Darnold or whatever, he probably won't produce as well. But in the right situation, I think you could get another wide receiver 2-3 season out of him. And then the other guy I was looking at was Kerryon Johnson.
Yes.
Who's been left for dead. So he's definitely a bottom of the barrel guy. And we talked earlier about the whole rotation thing. I mean, he's really one. I don't think AP is going to be back. So he's really one swift injury away from having really significant value.
Also, I think, right?
Oh, is he? I didn't realize that. Okay. But even still,
that's a very strong, I think.
Well, even if he's a free agent, that's my bad. But even if he's a free agent, he could get in a situation where he's a bigger part of the timeshare. I bet you wherever he goes, he's the number two guy, and again, would be an injury away from a significant workload. So he's another guy. He's still obviously pretty young. I think he's only like 23, something like that, 24. So he's another guy you could see, like you said, bottom of the barrel. So that definitely has a chance to be well beyond. I mean, he's going on, I think it was like RB77 I saw or something like that. Oh, it was ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah, he would be my other guy.
I weirdly still believe in Marquise Brown. I'm not ready to call him Hollywood yet, but he shows flashes of being more than just a deep threat. And I know the volume will literally just never be there in Baltimore, but he still ends up with like a 20-something% market share, which is still just really good. It just so happens that's like 6 targets in Baltimore, but like, I'm a fan. I believe in him. I think you can get him crazy cheap. Jamison Crowder is probably going to be a cut for cap. That's the word, a cap cut. And I think he'll go anywhere and walk into an easy slot receiver, possession receiver kind of guy. Gabriel Davis is still weirdly cheap in this ADP, but I don't know if you can get him cheap in a trade. Jonnu Smith is a free agent tight end, and I think he's super athletic, so I think he can fit in easier than other tight ends that would travel. Because I think he's just going to go be a slot receiver. So I'm a big fan of that. Nyheim Hines, because I think people are ready for it to be the Jonathan Taylor show, but I still think he's going to have his position. Like, he's still going to be that receiving guy. Because let's face it, teams don't really want workhorses super often anymore. I'm tired of scrolling. I think we gave good enough answers.
There you go.
So the last question we have from Jake Green and the Cool Kids Club, if you want to play some keep, trade, cut, or as we call it, floater, sink, or pinch, which we haven't played in forever.
I love that.
In case you haven't listened in that long of a time, it's the same exact thing, keep, trade, cut, but floater, you know, these are poop jokes. You want to float away a trade. You want to trade them away. You want to float some offers out. Sinker is the cut. He sinks to the bottom. He's gone. And pinch, you hold it in. You're pinching. You're holding it in. So you're going to keep that guy. So the one that was presented to us was Herbert, Burrow, and Trevor Lawrence. So Jake, floater, sinker, pinch, and yes, you have to use those words for Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Herbert.
I'm so glad you explained the exact correlation because I had it differently in my mind. I wasn't applying the words the way that they're meant to be. So I'm glad that you went through that. But if the easy one for me is the floater, the get it away from me, the trade it. And this is probably surprising to some, but it's Trevor Lawrence. Only because hype value.
You have two guys nodding with you, so. Yeah.
That hype value is crazy. And you have no idea where the landing spot is. You have no idea what he's actually going to look like on a pro offense. And everybody's so ready to anoint him a golden god that it would be silly to not try and get maximum trade value out of him. And I already talked about how I don't like having picks. So there you go. Yes. Now the pincher, the one that I'm going to hold on to here is going to be Herbert. I really loved what I was skeptical, I think, as a lot of people were about Justin Herbert last year. And I am eating crow and happily because the dude just looks so crazy legit. And there's nothing changing there that's concerning to me at all with the offense. So I think you lock him in for similar production to last year, not the same. But, you know, the concern for me is Burrow. So if I do want to wait, what's the other term? What's sinker. The right term? Sinker. If somebody's going to be a sinker, it's going to be Burrow for me. And really, I guess only because two things. The injury is still just, yeah, he's on the right track, it sounds like, and he should be fine. But will he really be? And two is the offensive line. I'm still not convinced that Cincy is going to dig into adding enough to the offensive line like I think they should, and I think that they should have for like the last 3 years. Yes. Outside
their
of
first
one
four
center.
Draft picks. Their first four draft picks should be offensive linemen.
So that's my list.
What do you rock?
I wish you would have gone to me first, because what Jake said, I think, is the no brainer answer. It's trade, you know, float away, Trevor Lawrence.
Thank you.
Because of the hype, because of the trade value, and it's very similar to Herbert's anyway.
Yes.
But Herbert, you know, I'm a show me something guy, and Herbert has shown me something. So he would definitely be the pinch, and then for the exact reasons Jake said, you know, you got to cut one of them, got to sink one of them. So that has to be Burrow, and it's pretty easy call. Herbert's shown. We've seen more from Herbert than we've seen from Burrow. He's got the injury. I mean, not that I don't like Burrow, but of these three, he's the guy I'm gonna sink.
See, I thought maybe there was a chance that you would call Herbert your floater because you did, in fact, trade him to me. So yes, the easy answer is Lawrence as the floater because, I mean, I'm sure, you know, small sample size like a mofo because it's literally one draft. He went 106 in our startup. Like the 101 went one at 106. Like that's crazy. And everyone will admit, like he, like even he's like, yeah, no, Lawrence, I want the shiny new toy. And I'm like, yeah, then that's what you had. That's where you had to take him because he's not going to be there at the 2 or whatever the way back is. So I get it, but man, like that's nuts. And he could, like,
back
that's
to
all
back
I could really,
with Herbert.
That's all. Yeah, exactly. That's all I could think to say. So again, that crazy hype, never seeing him in the league. We've seen Herbert. I'm struggling with that, with the second half of this, though. Well, two thirds of it, because I love Joe Burrow. I've always loved Joe Burrow. I guess for like a year and a half, because let's face it, no one knew who he was before then. But like the second I started learning about this kid, I was such a huge fan and watching him play. He was just so good. And I loved him in Cincinnati, and I love him with T. Higgins. And it's just, but the answer is probably what you guys said. The answer is probably to pinch Herbert, just because the value is already up there. So even if somewhere down the road, you know, you can get Burrow plus a whole lot for Herbert. So it hurts my heart to say the sinker is Joe Burrow, but I think you're right. I think that's the answer. And I'm a little sad this was this easy, because when I first looked at it, I'm like, ooh, that's a good one. And then I'm like, no, you're right. That's a little obvious. Wow, way to end this show on a down note, you guys.
Well, I thought it's a high thing. It's a high note. We're all in agreement. Look at us getting along and having good fun.
Unanimous.
Happy good times.
All right, but that is in fact the end of our show sheet. That is the end of our show. Before we get out of here, Jake, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, where they can find what you do, and feel free to pimp out anything you want to.
Okay. I am Jake Trowbridge at Jake Trowbridge on Twitter, if you're nasty, or if you're just regular searching Twitter, because I guess either way, you're going to find me there. I am the co-host of Drinking and Talking Fantasy Football with Dustin Lunt, also the co-host of Ball Blast Football Podcast with Kate and Michelle Majuk. And yeah, man, I mean, just, you know, talk to me. I'm lonely. It's a pandemic. Come talk to me on Twitter.
Remember the 20 seconds when people thought it was weird that I hosted more than one podcast? I feel like it's like weird for people that only host one these days.
Everyone here hosts too.
Yeah, there you go. So here we go. My spiel. Hold on. I already did it a little bit, but I'm going to do it again. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You could watch us record live. You could look at this beautiful bearded face that Rocky and I are looking at of Jake Trowbridge. Also, you can be in the chat, which weirdly died right as we started to record. but, you know, the past episodes that we've been pretty much interacting with the chat the entire time. Also, did Rocky really just take a second pee break as we're winding the show down? Yes. Sorry, second bathroom break. That just happened. Oh, damn it, Rocky. But also, there is the Cool Kids Club, our GroupMe chat, which is awesome. As you saw, we took a couple of questions from the guys in there, especially because Twitter just really let me down today, guys. You let me down.
Stupid Twitter.
But also, it's just a ton of fun. All the people, there's a lot of really good people in there. And if you want to get on a podcast, it's an easy way to get on ours because when, like I said, whenever I don't remember to actually get a guest on, oh crap, guys, anybody free tonight?
You're sending a message in the bottle and you're just floating it out to the mass.
That's how I get my job done. I'm too afraid to talk to people directly. So I'm like, hopefully somebody finds this. Hopefully somebody comes back to me. Also, we have ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, which is our merch shop for any podcast out there that was too lazy to start their own. I have all of the DAP networks. There's us, Junkies, Timeline, Get Real, but there's also Superflex Super Show, Dynasty Game Night, because I host it and I wanted some stuff. FF Intervention, Dynasty Vipers, we have some of their stuff. Dynasty Diagnostic, Devi Marketplace. I always say I'm going to look it up to remember who all the other 18 people are, but I didn't. But the best part about all of that is not only do you get some awesome stuff from some awesome shows, every single penny brought in from that store goes to charity. Last month, we were able to donate $48 to the Asperger Autism Network, which was Rocky's charity. And I thought of one this time, and technically I'm stealing. I created the shirts for FF Honors for – it's weird to call him – at Matt Donnelly FF as instead of calling him Dingus. But he did the FF honors and all of the money from his shirts was going to go to No Kid Hungry. And he sold a couple of shirts and really the last one was a couple of weeks ago. So I didn't do anything about it yet. So what I'm just going to do is the next 2 months, every penny brought in from FF Pod shirts is going to go to that pile to go to No Kid Hungry. Because A, that is one less transaction for me to do and for me to think about. So in the end, it could all just go as once. But also, it's a great cause. So buy some awesome shirts, feed some damn kids, and good night, guys. Good night, Rocky. Good night, Jake. I think that's it. I always think there's more. No, there is more. That's a lie because I still haven't had my kids record the freaking outro. I am at Dynasty Outhouse. He is at Dynasty FF Addict. We are at Trade Addicts Pod. We are a member of the DLF family of podcasts. So you can subscribe to that stream to get us and many other amazing shows, two or three of which I host. You can also subscribe to the DAP Network or follow at Twitter at DAP_network, where you can get Trade Addicts Pod, Dynasty Junkies, Fantasy Timeline, Get Real with Casey Kasem. Awesome, awesome shows. So you should absolutely subscribe. And I think that was a rate and review and all those things that people tell you that you're supposed to do. But no one knows why you're supposed to do it, but it just makes us feel good, I think. I think that's the real reason. Yeah. Good night, fellas. That I'm done.
Good night, Russ. Good night, Jake.
Good night.